verse 9 to 17, and you can follow along on your Connect form or if you have your Bibles with you. That's John 15, verse 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another.
Thanks, Joe. Morning, everyone. Great to be with you. My name's Matt, one of the pastors here. We're going to look at that passage that you've got on your Connect form, so please do have that on your lap open. But we're going to ask God to help us, like we always do, come to his word. We're going to ask him to open our hearts, open our eyes. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are truly a God who speaks. You haven't left us in the dark. You speak even now through your written word, the Bible. And we pray that as we look at this little bit, that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, we might hear your words, that we might be changed, that we might see the one who is the way and the truth and the life, and that we might live for the praise of your glory. Amen. Well, I want to begin this morning by showing you another branch off my passion fruit vine. Last week, I came in and showed you a branch very similar to this. This is another branch off my passion fruit vine on our back fence. Now, last week, the vine didn't have any fruit on it. This week, it does have a little bit of fruit on it, but they both have the same problem. It's pretty obvious what the problem is. They're not attached to the vine. Pretty obvious. And so what's going to happen to this branch? Well, it's going to be okay for a while. It's got some water. But at some point soon, this branch will wither and die. But the other question is, what about the fruit? Is this fruit on this vine good fruit? Someone's already said to me, mate, that's not ripe, did you know? Yes, that is not ripe fruit. That fruit will never ripen and become good fruit. Last week I also boasted that we've got over 100 fruit on our passion fruit vine, and some of you questioned my counting skills. Some of you even accused me of exaggeration. And some of you begged me for some fruit off the vine. And so here we are. Here is some fruit off our vine. I picked these up this morning. It was a bit of a storm last night. I blew some of these off. They need a little bit longer, but they are almost ready to eat. And if you can come up to me afterwards and tell me what the points of this sermon were, you may have one. Jesus says in John 15, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And last week we saw that that means people who remain attached to Jesus and Jesus to them are attached to the only true life source that will give you a fruitful life now and into eternity. But what about the fruit? What actually is the fruit? We all produce fruit in our lives, don't we? We all produce stuff in our lives, just like there's all sorts of fruit. Some fruit, like crispy apples, are very good, and some fruit, like squishy peaches, are not good at all. Some fruit have soft on the outside and hard in the middle, like stone fruit that's coming into season at the moment. And some fruit are hard on the outside and soft in the middle, and some have some weird seeds that taste kind of nice, like this passion fruit. God also gives people different types of fruit. Some fruit is seen in how you live your life in response to what God has done for you. But there is other fruit. Other fruit God gives is people being made new. So which one is Jesus talking about here in John 15? Is he talking about Christians, people who have come to Jesus, now growing to live a better life in him? Or is he talking about people becoming new, becoming Christians? Or is it both? Which is it? This morning, we're answering the question, what is the fruit Jesus means right here, and why does it matter? Last week, we saw that a fruitful life now only comes through remaining in God's only true fruitful life source, Jesus Christ. The branches must stay joined to the vine and growing. The big problem with this branch is that it is not attached to its life source. It will never grow good fruit unless it is grafted back on. Somehow it needs to be attached back to its vine. It will last for a while. It has a bit of water, but soon it will wither and die. And guess what? This is us. This is you, and this is me. Without God's vine, without God's true life source, this is us. It looks okay for a while. We've got a bit of water, but soon we'll wither and die. Just like that branch needs the vine to live, so we need Jesus to live. But more than that, just like this branch needs the vine to bear good fruit, we need the true vine to bear good fruit. This week, Jesus tells us what the fruit is, and it's summarized in two words, love and go. Not just love, not just go, both together, love and go. So firstly, love each other like Jesus has loved us. Have a look there at John 15 from verse 9, right at the beginning there. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So, do you see what Jesus is saying here? Something quite extraordinary. Just like the Father God has loved Jesus and Jesus remains in him and his love, just like that, Christians remain in Jesus. Remember that word abide? It's just a fancy word for remaining in, growing in, joined to, super glued to. So we are to remain in Jesus like the branch remains joined to the vine. But there's more than that. Jesus gives us a sneak peek into what's going on here. It's bigger. It turns out the way we remain in Jesus is the same way Jesus remains in the Father. Did you see it? Our union with Jesus is an extension of the union God has with his Son. Just like the Father and the Son relate to each other, united to each other in love, just like that, we're to relate to Jesus. Have a look at John 5 here. It should be on the screen for you. Jesus has already said it. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he is doing. That's what's going on here. Jesus says to his disciples, I love you like my Father loves me. I show you everything that I am doing by speaking to you. My son Sam and I have started building a treehouse, and we sat down and I explained how to build a treehouse, because my way is obviously the best way. We sat down, I explained it, and first thing we need to do is cut out steps in the tree, and then we'll build a platform. And before we did anything, I explained it to him with my words. And then we went and cut some trees. I revealed my plan I had to build the treehouse. Then Sam started talking to his sister Lucy. But before they did anything, he sat her down and said, look, here's the plan. We're going to cut some things in the tree so we can get some steps up the tree, and then we'll do the platform. The father has revealed the whole plan to the son, and the son reveals it to us, to his disciples. Have another look, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, my words, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you. Jesus remains in the Father's love by sticking to the plan, by loving obedience to what his Father has shown him, even to the point of death on a cross. And now Jesus says, you guys, my disciples, this is how it works with me and you. Have another look, verse 12. This is my words, this is my commandments, that you love one another as I have loved you. That is how you remain in Jesus and how we start growing, seeing how the fruit grows in accordance with God's will to the whole world. Love one another as I have loved you. We're starting to get a picture. Now that word love, you probably already know, is unconditional, sacrificial, other person-centeredness. It's not love if. Do you know what love if says? Love if says, I will love you if you do this or if you do that. It's not love because. Love because says, I'll love you because you're like this or like that. It's not love if. It's not love because, it's love full stop. Unconditional, sacrificial, other person-centeredness. That is God's plan for the world, that he might spread that fruit to the whole world. Love one another like Jesus has loved you. Did you see there's two things about this love? Firstly, there's complete joy. It leads to complete joy. Verse 11, did you see it? These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full, complete. So it turns out bearing fruit in Jesus is the happiest thing you could possibly do in your life. But it's not happiness like the way we think happy. It is that deep inner joy of being who you are designed to be. That inner peace, delight in being the person you are made to be. And did you notice the joy comes from Jesus? His joy in us, that our joy may be complete. These things I've spoken, that my joy might be where? In you, and that your joy may be complete. So where does the joy come from? His words. Whose joy is it? His. Where is it? In us. Complete. You get it? Now, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 16 and verse 11. Have a look here on the screen. We've got this as our memory verse for our family. We have it on the fridge. And every morning, most mornings, we have breakfast and I run through it with the kids. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forever. So now we're getting it. So now we're getting an idea of where this complete joy actually is and how we get it. What is the fruit? What is God's fruit for the whole world? Fullness of joy in the presence of God himself. Complete joy. And secondly, did you see it? Friendship with God. Verse 13. Have a look there. Greater love has no one than this, or greater love no one has than this, is an easier way to understand it, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants or slaves, for the servant does not know his master's doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I've heard from the Father, I have made known to you. You see, friends of the master get to know his business. I tell my mates what I'm planning to do, but I don't tell the plumber who's come to fix my toilet. You are friends of God if you are in Christ Jesus, and he has revealed everything, his plans. What's his plan? That his fruit might spread to the whole world to his glory. And this is obviously pointing us to the cross, isn't it? Where is the greatest love you've ever seen in your entire life? Greater love has no one than this. There's no one has any greater love than this. That Jesus, the Son of God, would lower himself to die on the cross for your sins, to take your punishment. You deserve it. I deserve it. He takes it, and we become friends. The cross is where we see love, where we get to peer into the inner being of God himself. You know, God is love. What does that mean? It means he gives up himself for us. The cross is where we see it. Greater love no one has than this, that Jesus lays down his life for us to make you a friend. So when you become a Christian, you don't just get joy. You don't just get fulfillment. You don't just get peace, you also get enlightenment. God turns the lights on in your life, in your heart. Oh, now I get it. Now I can see. God says, hey, check out this plan I have for all of history, all eternity. The Father reveals his plans to his friends. I've got a friend who owned a couple of cafes in Netherlands, and he was that kind of guy who just kind of put his finger to anything and it just went amazing. So he opened a couple of cafes, they went bonkers, and then he had grand plans. And I was sitting with him having a free flat white, as I do, in one of his cafes, and he leans over to me and says, Matt, I've got grand plans. And then he told me, all down the cafe strip, he had already in process to buy up. He was going to open a burger joint, he was going to open a beer garden, another cafe, because he just only had three. They're his master plan. Why did he tell me? Because we're mates. We're friends. God has made us his friends through Jesus Christ, and has revealed all his plans. Have a look, verse 15. I have called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Now we're getting to see even more. What's the point? What's the fruit? What is God doing in this entire world? Before I became a Christian, I had no idea. Grew up first 18 years of my life. No idea. If you asked me the purpose of life, what's this? What are you on this planet for? I would have given you some little reason like, oh, just have fun, be good, be kind. If you pushed me, I wouldn't have a clue, wouldn't have understood. But then when I was 18, Jesus turned the lights on. I can remember the day. I'd grown up a very angry young man. My dad had died when I was 1 year old. Everyone else had a dad. I was angry at everyone. Then Jesus opened my eyes to see that I had a father who loved me. And he called me friend. And he died on the cross for my sins. And he spoke to me. Jesus said, Matt, I love you. I've died on the cross for your sins, and now you can have your Father in heaven as a friend. And new Matt was born. And all of a sudden I got it. All of a sudden I saw this God who made absolutely everything loved me, called me a friend, and had a plan for all eternity. I could see what is the point of my existence and where do I fit? You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. He is the reason for our existence. We're made for him. I'm on this planet to produce fruit that lasts forever. So now we see, Jesus doesn't just say love one another. He's not saying, branches, you're on the vine, be good to each other. Make sure you love each other like I've loved you. Jesus doesn't just say that. He doesn't just say, I want friends to love each other, to know God's plan, and that's it. The whole point of a vine is to grow and bear fruit. Simple, isn't it? Love is not love unless it is of outside of itself. God doesn't want an exclusive club here. He doesn't want a comfortable little club of his people loving each other at North Coast or anywhere else. Jesus tells us, what's the fruit? Love and go. Not just love, not just go. Love and go. So love each other as Jesus has loved you. Go and bear fruit that lasts forever. Have a look here at Isaiah 27 verse 6. In Isaiah 27, God is promising that he will send a vine that will produce fruit to the whole world. If you remember last week, we saw that God's Old Testament people were to be that vine. They were to be God's channel for blessing to the whole world, but they failed. They were fruitless and faithless. But God didn't leave them there. He promised to send a true vine. If you read that whole chapter of Isaiah 27, it talks about a vine. And here's this just one verse for us. In the days to come, Jacob shall take root. Israel, God's Old Testament people, shall blossom and put forth shoots and what? Fill the whole world with fruit. God is promising to send a vine that will fill the whole world with fruit. And Jesus comes and says, I am that true vine. Saying, I'm the only channel through which blessing to the whole world and salvation and truth, I fill the whole earth with fruit. And we're tempted to think when we hear Jesus say, I'm the vine and you are the branches, if you remain in me and I and you bear much fruit, we're tempted to think, I know that fruit, I've heard of that. It's called love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's in Galatians 5. It's talking about Christians producing fruit of the Spirit. That is not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is very clear. The whole point of my passion fruit tree vine is to give me the fruit. Here's some right here. We're hoping for over 100. The whole point of the true vine is to grow and bear fruit that lasts forever. Let's have a look. One more verse. Verse 16. This is the key verse of the whole passage. The key verse unlocks the whole thing. Jesus says, have a look. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, should remain. So God's shown you his plan. He's made you his friend. You've seen Jesus die for my sins on the cross. I get it. Matt, I get it. He's made you his friends. God has revealed it all. He reveals his plans to his friends through his son. And now the danger is to start thinking I'm somehow better than everyone else. Jesus will have nothing of it. He says, you did not choose this. I chose you. It's completely and utterly the work of Jesus Christ that anything of you and I know of God. Did you see it? You did not choose me. I chose you. For what purpose? What reason? Well, now we get it. At last, Matt, you've been talking about this. What exactly is the fruit? Something to do with love, something to do with joy. What is it? Verse 16. I chose you and appointed you that you should what? Go. And do what? Bear fruit. What sort of fruit? Fruit that remains forever. Jesus could not be any clearer. That word appointed, it means to be set apart. He gives his people a particular task to do. Here you go. I've made you my friends. Love one another in the context of going. It's a continuous word. Going and bearing. Bearing what? Fruit that abides. Now that word abide, we've seen that before, haven't we? That is the word that Jesus uses for the branches and the vine. True branches abide in the vine, they remain forever. And now he's saying the fruit abides? Couldn't be any clearer. He's talking about fruit that lasts for all eternity. So put it all together. The fruit Jesus is talking about is people remaining in Jesus Christ forever. It's people becoming Christian and growing in him. Isaiah 27, God's people shall blossom and put up shoots and fill the whole world of fruit. And in Matthew 28, Jesus says to his disciples, go. Same word, go. And do what? Make disciples, bear fruit of all the nations. The fruit he's talking about is people coming to Jesus as we go. Love is not love unless it looks outside itself. God does not want us to be an exclusive club of people loving each other. He wants us to go and bear fruit. God is God in his very nature is other person-centered. God in his very nature is gathering people to himself, and he says, you join me in that work. This branch is never going to do it. This branch will never produce that, will it? Never. But if some miraculous botanist comes along and does some amazing thing called grafting and puts that back on the vine, then it will produce fruit. Only branches that remain will produce fruit. Love each other, go and bear fruit. So what does this mean for us? Let's finish up thinking about it. If you're not a Christian, it's very obvious, isn't it? If you're not a Christian, then this is you. This is cool. It looks great. It's fine for a while, but soon it will wither and die. The problem is you need to be attached to the life source. You must, whatever you do, don't leave here without seeing that you need Jesus to live. Come to him. Come talk to us. The info point, we've got a lot of information about Jesus. We want to tell you about him. That's what we're here for. If you are a Christian, then there's only one thing. Jesus is saying very clearly, Christians bear fruit. We have already been attached to the vine, and so we go. What do we do? How do you do it, Matt? It's simple. Bring people to Jesus. Bring branches like this back to the vine that they might live and flourish and grow and produce their own fruit. We must bring people back to the true life. So it's not that hard. Invite them to a Christmas service. We've got a couple coming up next week. Give them a Christmas card and I like to write Luke 2:11. Today in the town of Bethlehem, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Then put something there as well. It's like, hey, I'm praying that you'll see the Saviour of the world this Christmas. I'm not very good at connecting with our neighbours, but my wife's very good at baking. And so what we've done is, what she's done is she's baked a whole heap of little cookies. And we're going to take cookies down and we're going to give them this little pamphlet that tells my neighbours about Jesus. And hopefully, I'm going to pray that they're going to read this. There's some up on the info point if you want to take one and try that as well. Whatever you do, don't keep it to yourself. Don't be a branch that doesn't bear fruit. Because it is possible to say that you're a Christian. It is possible to say you're attached to the vine, go to church, even serve. But where's the fruit? What vine are you plugging into? Where are you looking to give you life? Where am I looking to give my life meaning and significance, to bear fruit? Why don't I want to tell people about Jesus? What vine are you trying to plug into? And what fruit are you producing? There's a lot of vines out there. You can try all sorts of vines to plug into this Christmas, but there is only one true vine that will produce growth in you and produce fruit to eternal life. And his name is Jesus Christ. Could it be that we are so distracted by the world? Don't know about you, but I get distracted very easy. Could it be that we're so distracted by Perth, by comfort, by looking after ourselves, that we've forgotten? It's not about us. It's about him and more people seeing that he is the King who came to save us. Branches on the true vine always bear fruit. What fruit are you producing? And what vine are you plugging into? Jesus said, I am the true vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will bear much fruit. You didn't choose me. I chose you that you might go and bear fruit, and that that fruit should remain forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this reminder, clear reminder, that Jesus is the true vine. And thank you, Father, for making us the branches. Everyone who comes to Jesus is a branch on the true vine. And Father, forgive us for getting distracted by this world, by comfort, by looking after ourselves. Forgive us, Father. Have mercy that we might produce fruit that lasts as we bring people to your Son, Jesus. Please have mercy that we might go and bear fruit, and that our fruit might remain forever to the praise of your glory. Amen.